Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldreich, and today we're Zichru Baba Basra, Daf Mem Dod, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara rejects Rav Sheshes' interpretation of the Braisa on the previous Daf, and instead explains that the Braisa teaches the principle of Ravin Bar Shmuel in Shmuel's name. Hamocher Sado Chavero Shaluba Chrais, if one sells a field to his fellow without a guarantee, in Me'id Lo Aleha, he cannot testify on the buyer's behalf regarding it against someone claiming the field was his and not the seller's, Mifnei Shema'am because he places it before his creditor to collect an earlier debt. He stands to gain from his testimony even though he would not be responsible to reimburse the buyer because by remaining the buyer's property, the seller's prior debt can be collected from it. The next stuff explains that although the borrower lacks the money to pay the lender anyway, he still prefers the debt should be paid so as not to be a lovarashvo yishalim, a wicked borrower who doesn't pay. Point number two, the sefer of the previous braisa taught that if one sold a cow or cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf. Following the previous interpretation, this is because these items cannot be collected by his lender from a buyer because they're metaltalin, even if they were an apotiki, specifically designated for collection. Rava taught they are not collected after being sold because their being an apotiki does not become publicly known. The Gemara asks if perhaps the lender acquired these metaltalin as a shibud along with karka. Because Rabbi taught Iakim Metaltalin Agav Makarke, if a debtor conveys Metaltalin along with land to a creditor for a lien, Kani Makarke, Kani Metaltalin, then when he acquires the lien on the land, he acquires Metaltalin also. The Gemara ultimately answers that the cases where Adim testify, Yadin Be Bahai the Lahavigle Arma Olam, we know about the seller that he never owned land and thus could not convey Metaltalin for a Shibud through Agav. And point number three, the Gemara persists that the seller of the cow should still have an interest in his testimony. Rav Papa said that although if one sold property without a chrayas and it's collected by a debtor, the buyer is not reimbursed, but if it was discovered never to have been his, the buyer can return to him for reimbursement since there was no valid sale. If so, the seller of the cow should be disqualified from testifying since he gains from his testimony. The Gemara answers that the Bryce's case is where the buyer acknowledges that he recognizes the animal as the offspring of the seller's donkey, or in our case, the seller's cow. His admission prevents him from demanding reimbursement from the seller, even if Adim testified that it was not the seller's. Razvi disagrees with Rav Papa. Even where it's discovered to have never been his, the buyer cannot return to him for reimbursement because the seller can say, this is why I sold it to you without a guarantee. Therefore, the seller has nothing to gain from testifying on the buyer's behalf. So once again, the three points are number one. The Gemara rejects Rav Sheshes' interpretation of the Braisa on the previous daf, and instead explains that the Braisa teaches the principle of Ravin Bar Shmuel in Shmuel's name, if one sells a field to his fellow without a guarantee, he cannot testify on the buyer's behalf regarding it against someone claiming the field was his and not the seller's, because he places it before his creditor to collect an earlier debt. He stands to gain from his testimony even though he would not be responsible to reimburse the buyer because by remaining the buyer's property, the seller's prior debt can be collected from it. The next stuff explains that although the borrower lacks the money to pay the lender anyway, he still prefers the debt should be paid so as not to be a lovarashvo yishalim, a wicked borrower who doesn't pay. Point number two, the sefer of the previous braisa taught that if one sold a cow or cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf. Following the previous interpretation, this is because these items cannot be collected by his lender from a buyer because they're metaltalin, even if they were an apotiki, specifically designated for collection. Rava taught they are not collected after being sold because their being an apotiki does not become publicly known. The Gemara asks if perhaps the lender acquired these metaltalin as a shibud along with karka. Because Rabbi taught Iakim Metaltalin Agav Makarke, if a debtor conveys Metaltalin along with land to a creditor for a lien, Kani Makarke, Kani Metaltalin, then when he acquires the lien on the land, he acquires Metaltalin also. The Gemara ultimately answers that the cases where Adim testify, Yadin Be Bahai the Lahavigle Arma Olam, we know about the seller that he never owned land and thus could not convey Metaltalin for a Shibud through Agav. And point number three, the Gemara persists that the seller of the cow should still have an interest in his testimony. Rav Papa said that although if one sold property without a chrayas and it's collected by a debtor, the buyer is not reimbursed, but if it was discovered never to have been his, the buyer can return to him for reimbursement since there was no valid sale. If so, the seller of the cow should be disqualified from testifying since he gains from his testimony. The Gemara answers that the Bryce's case is where the buyer acknowledges that he recognizes the animal as the offspring of the seller's donkey, or in our case, the seller's cow. His admission prevents him from demanding reimbursement from the seller, even if Aidan testified that it was not the seller's. Razvi disagrees with Rav Papa. Afil nimse sheino shelo, even where it's discovered to have never been his, eino chozro lav. The buyer cannot return to him for reimbursement because the seller can say, l'hachi zvini lach shelo b'achrayis, this is why I sold it to you without a guarantee. Therefore, the seller has nothing to gain from testifying on the buyer's behalf. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Mem Dalet, and our standard Simon is mud. Mud. So here goes. The man who sold the very muddy field without a chrayis and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potiki he sold belonged to a buyer, and that the calf lying in the mud who looked just like his mother belonged to a buyer as well. Once again, slow motion. The man who sold the very muddy field. Muddy field? That must be run off Mem Dalet. Mud. The man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayis and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors. Which reminds us, the Gemara rejects Rav Sheshes' interpretation of the brayis in the previous daf, and instead explains that the brayis teaches the principle of Rav and Bar Shmuel and Shmuel's name. Hamocher sado chavero shelo b'achrayis. If one sells a field to his fellow without a chrayis, ein me'id lo olel. He cannot testify on the buyer's behalf regarding it against someone claiming the field was his and not the seller's, b'fnei shemamid b'fnei bal chovo, because he places it before his creditor to collect on an earlier debt. He stands to gain from his testimony even though he would not be responsible to reimburse the buyer, because by remaining the buyer's property, the seller's prior debt can be collected from it. So the man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayis and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potiki he sold belonged to a buyer, which reminds us, the sefer of the previous brayis had taught that if one sold a cow or cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf. Following the previous interpretation, this is because these items cannot be collected by his lender from a buyer because they're metaltalin, even if they were in a potiki specifically designated for collection. Rava taught they're not collected after being sold because their being in a potiki does not become publicly known. So the man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayis and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potiki he sold belonged to a buyer, and that the calf lying in the mud who looked just like his mother belonged to a buyer as well. Which reminds us, the Gemara persists that the seller of the cow should still have an interest in his testimony. Rav Papa said that although if one sold property without a chrayis and is collected by a debtor, the buyer is not reimbursed, but nimset sheino shelo, if it was discovered never to have been his, chozolav, the buyer can return to him for reimbursement since there was no valid sale. If so, the seller of the cow should be disqualified from testifying since he gains from his testimony. The Gemara answers the Bryce's case is b'makibashi hibas chamoro, where the buyer acknowledges that he recognizes the animal is the offspring of the seller's donkey, or in our case, the seller's cow. His admission prevents him from demanding reimbursement from the seller, even if Aidan testified that it was not the seller's. So once again, the man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayis and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he just might be trying to save it for his own debtors, was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potiki he sold belonged to a buyer, and that the calf lying in the mud, who looked just like his mother, belonged to a buyer as well. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach chazara. Daf mem. So the simmer daf mem relates to mayim, and we use a pool. So here goes. The Aidim heard the owner of the pool. Pool? That must mean we're on daf mem, mayim. The Aidim heard the owner of the pool make mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who rode ashore without having to ask the owner, which reminds us, Rav quoted Rav Nachman saying, mocha bifnei shnaim, a protest must be made before two witnesses, and he does not need to tell them, write a shtar recording the mocha. Since recording the mocha only benefits him, they may write it on their own, based on the principle of zaknu adam shul b'fanav. So the Aidim who heard the owner of the pool make a mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who wrote a shtar without having to ask the owner, and the Aidim who wrote Moda when they heard the lifeguard describe how he was being forced to sell his big red tube, which reminds us, Rabban Rav Yosef said that a Moda is only written about Mande Lotzai's Dina, a coercer who does not listen to Basin's ruling. Otherwise, the Moda is disregarded because the purported victim should have summoned him to Basin. Abai and Rava said, Afil Alai V'Alecha, it's even written about people such as me or you because Basin may not have been available. So the Aidim who heard the owner of the pool make a mocha about the swimmers who were occupying his pool, who wrote a shtar without having to ask the owner, and the Aidim who wrote a Moda when they heard the lifeguard describe how he was being forced to sell his big red tube, didn't notice the Aidim trying to hide behind the lifeguard chair to write a secret Shtar Matana, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said that a Matanta Tamirta, a secret gift document, meaning a document written secretly, cannot be used to collect the gift because we suspect the gift is not genuine. There are two versions if Rav Yosef explained the case as where he instructed the witnesses to write the shtar in hiding or where he did not instruct them to write it in public, the difference being if he said nothing. Daf Mem Aleph, so the Simur Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma, so here goes. It was a tough day for grandma. Grandma, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph. It was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because it's claimed that no one ever said anything to me was invalid, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Kol chazaku she'eni motayna, any chazak without a claim explaining his ownership, eno chazaka, is not a valid chazaka. The Mishnah illustrates, if the former owner asked the machzik, what are you doing on my property? And he replied, sho'amar li adam davar ma'olam, because no one ever said anything to me, the chazaka is invalid and he must leave. So, it was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because it's claimed that no one ever said anything to me was invalid. While two conflicting edim testify that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either two or three rows of her property, which reminds us, a flood destroyed the boundary between Rav Kahana's property and his neighbor's, and he mistakenly rebuilt the fence inside his neighbor's property. Two edim testified before Rav Yehuda, one saying he had annexed two rows of the neighbor's land, and the other saying he annexed three rows. Rav Yehuda told Rav Kahana to return two rows of land, since both witnesses agreed on that amount. Rav Kahana protested that this ruling followed the minority opinion, or Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree regarding contradictory testimony of two pairs of witnesses, one testifying the defendant owes 100 zuz, and the other saying he owes 200. Sheish b'chol masai mana, that included in testimony about 200, is testimony about 100, and he can collect that amount, which all witnesses agreed on. So it was a tough day for grandma when she had to tell a machzik to leave her property because his claim that no one ever said anything to me was invalid, while two conflicting edim testified that her neighbor mistakenly rebuilt his fence on either two or three rows of her property, and the man living in the upper story of one of her houses for 4 years was able to bring proof that the man he bought it from, who bought it from her, lived in the upper story for a day, which reminds us, a person lived in an upper story in Kashta for 4 years, and when the first owner challenged him, he responded, I bought it from Pony, who I thought bought it from you. Rabbi Chiya told the Machzik, if you have edim who can testify that the person from whom you bought it lived there even for a day, I will award you the property, but not without such testimony. Since the Machzik has no proof or personal knowledge that his seller owned the property, his chazak is considered without a valid claim. Daf Mem Beis. So the sim for Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster. Mobster? That must be more on Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who lost his field by not being mocha, the three buyers who each bought from one another, with a shtar, which reminds us, in the previous daf, the Gemara said that the usage of three successive buyers of one field is combined to establish a three-year chazaka. We assume the ma'arer knew about the sales and should have protested. Rav says, v'kum b'shtar, this is only if all the purchases were recorded in shtaros, but otherwise we cannot assume the owner heard about them. So the mobster who lost his field by not being mocha, the three buyers, who each bought from one another, with a shtar, was confident he would not lose another one to a sharecropper working a field, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses people who cannot establish a chazaka because of their access to the property, such as umnim, craftsmen, shutafim, partners, arisim, sharecroppers, apitropim, administrators. Because they all have legitimate access to the property, their usage does not indicate ownership. So the mobster who lost his field by not being mocha, the three buyers, who each bought from one another, with a shtar, was confident he would not lose another one to a sharecropper working a field, but was shocked when his mobster partner made a chazaka on another by eating from the better half of the field for 3 years, which reminds us, Shmuel's father and Levi taught in their version of the Mishnah that a shutaf cannot establish a chazaka, and certainly a craftsman cannot. Shmuel taught in his version only that a craftsman cannot establish a chazaka, but a shutaf can. This contradicts another statement of his that shutaf ki yord berushustami. A partner is like one who enters a field to work with permission, meaning he's like a sharecropper who cannot establish a chazaka. The Gemara answers this statement is where the partner occupied the entire field, and this other statement is where he occupied half of the field. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simran Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The story in Ada's magazine. Magazine? That must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The story in Ada's magazine about how one shutaf was able to testify on behalf of the other, which reminds us, on the previous daf, Shmuel said that shutafim can testify for one another, meaning if one person's ownership is challenged, the other can testify on his behalf. The Gemara asks, Amai nogim be'edusinhen? Why? But they have an interest in their testimony. Since they own the land jointly, any loss in the court case harms both partners. It answers that the shutaf testifying gave up his right in the property by writing to his partner, Dinu dvarim inli al sadazu. I have no claim or argument regarding this field. Although such a declaration is usually ineffective for property one already owns, the case is Kishikanu Miyadu, where Shutev additionally acquired it from him with Chalipin. So the story in Eidos magazine about how one Shutev was able to testify on behalf of the other was opposite the picture of the townspeople whose Sefer Torah was stolen being told they cannot serve as judges or witnesses in the case, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa, B'nei Yir Shenignav Sefer Torah Shalhen. If townspeople had their Sefer Torah stolen, they cannot serve as judges or witnesses in the case because of their personal interests. The Gemara asks, let two of them withdraw from their rights in the Sefer Torah and let them try the case with their testimony. It answers, Shani Sefer Torah Delushmiakai. A Sefer Torah is different for its use to be heard, so he'll still benefit from it even without ownership. So the story in Eidos magazine about how one Shutev was able to testify on behalf of the other was opposite the picture that townspeople whose Sefer Torah was stolen being told they could not serve as judges or witnesses in the case, which was right above the article about Shimon who wasn't allowed to testify about a field stolen from himself to prevent another party from claiming it, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if one sold a house or a field to someone, a maid will allow, he cannot testify for the buyer regarding it because its responsibility is upon him, so he is no geya be'edas. On this daf, Rav Sheshes explains the case. Reuven stole a field belonging to Shimon and sold to Levi. A fourth person, Yehuda, came forward and claimed the field was his. The Braisa teaches that Shimon cannot testify with another aid on Levi's behalf, because Shimon prefers that Levi retains it, so it will later return to Shimon when he proves the field was stolen from him. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf did we discuss a Matanta Temirta, a secret gift document? That's on daf. Ma'am. Good. Number two. Which shutter in the one cannot testify on a land he sold without a chrys on the buyer's behalf, since it can be used to pay his debt? That's on Duff. Mem Dalad. Good. Number three. Which Duff did the case where Shimon was not allowed to testify about a field stolen from himself to prevent another party from claiming it? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number four. Which Duff did the case of two witnesses in conflict of how much land Rav Kahana mistakenly annexed from his neighbor's field when he rebuilt the fence? That's on Duff. Memov. Good. Number five. Which something when if one sold metaltaline such as a cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf, even if it was an apotiki? That's on Duff. Memdalad. Good. Number six. Which something when that a macha said to two people who cannot relate the macha, for example, if they're lame, is still macha because they tell friends who tell friends? That's on Duff. Lamed Ches. Good. Number seven. Which of the when the townspeople whose Sefer Torah was stolen from them are not allowed to act as edim or judges in the case? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number eight. Which of the case where the buyer acknowledges that he recognized the animal as the offspring of the seller's cow? That's on Duff. Mem Dalad. Good. Number nine. Which of the Shutev can testify on behalf of his partner by writing that he has no claim or argument regarding this field? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which Duff does Gemara list people who cannot establish a chazaka because of their access to the property, such as sharecroppers? That's on Duff. Membes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldner from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.